Thank you, John. Now, friends, sometimes you get a Bible passage and you think, gosh, I don't really need a sermon because it's so powerful. But we are having a sermon. I mean, it's a delight that Jean's going to lead us in our thinking today. Can I pray for you?
Please do.
Father, we thank you for Jean. We ask that you would bless her and encourage her. You would speak clearly through her. We pray for us too, that you would help us to be people who are counted amongst the wise, who hear and respond rightly to your word to us as well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin. Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. So in the last few weeks, we have been looking at different scriptures relating to our ongoing vision here at Pip and Jim's: encounter, grow, and go. I hope you've picked up some good pointers over the weeks that we've been looking at this vision. Well, before Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road, he had a very different view of Jesus. He considered him to be a false Messiah, and he viewed his suffering and death on the cross as a curse. But Paul had an amazing encounter with Jesus, the risen Christ, on the Damascus Road, and that dispelled all his doubts and gave him a new understanding of Christ's death and resurrection. In fact, he was so changed in his thinking that his enemies asserted he was out of his mind or suffering from religious mania. After his encounter with Jesus, Paul spent quite a few months or years studying, praying, and meditating on the scriptures, and that made him realize that everyone who believes and encounters Jesus has somehow been joined with him on the cross in his death and goes through the death experience that Jesus did and goes through the resurrection experience that Jesus did and receives new life. He teaches this more deeply in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him." He says, "All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death." You can't have it much more clearly than that. He also goes on to explain it further in Romans chapter 8. And in Galatians 2:20, we have this famous verse, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I live no longer, but Christ lives in me." I have been crucified with Christ. And that is why Paul can so confidently say that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Isn't that good to know that the old you is no longer, but the new has come, the new person. You become a new person. Paul might have been referring back to the creation story when he was writing this, when out of emptiness and darkness, God created life and light. Every Christian is a living, breathing little bit of new creation because of what happened at the resurrection of Jesus, and which will be complete when God finally raises us to share in his new heaven and new earth. Christians are brand new people, on the inside as well as the outside. And it's not a question of turning over a new leaf, it's a question of having a new life. The old Paul, the old me, the old you, we all died when we encountered Jesus, the risen Christ, and through his Holy Spirit's power, we are transformed into new people, new beings. And with that comes a new perception of other people. We see others in a different way. We see them through the eyes of Jesus. We see the world around us differently, and we want similar things to Jesus. Even more amazing, Paul says in verse 21 that John has just finished reading, "Being in Christ means we become the righteousness of God." Have you any idea what that really means? This surely is one of the most significant verses in the whole of the Bible. It basically means that when we say yes to Jesus, God trades his righteousness for our sin. It's the big swap. It means we have been given the righteousness that Jesus has, so now we become righteous before God. That is an amazing and overwhelming thought, but it's true. We are now the righteousness of God, and something of immeasurable worth in Jesus has been swapped for something completely worthless, i.e. us and our sin. So, once we've encountered the risen Christ, once we've encountered Jesus for ourselves, we begin to grow in him. Christ has brought us back into that relationship with God, which was severed when sin entered this world. And being in a relationship with Jesus means we have a special connection with him. We have a rapport with him, and it leads to lots of things being changed in our lives. We're no longer a single unit, a single person on our own. Instead, we're a couple. We're joined with God. It's Jesus and us, Jesus and me. And we grow in that relationship by spending time with him, of course, seeking God's advice, his plans, his guidance, becoming more aware of him during each day. The astronomer Copernicus was amongst the first to realize and understand that the planet Earth was not the center of the universe. This Copernican revolution is a way to describe any radical thinking. And that's what happened to Paul. His encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road totally changed his thinking, and it led to a complete and radical change of direction. Previously, even though Paul was a religious man, everything revolved around himself. He was at the center of his own universe. Then Paul had this amazing encounter with the risen Jesus. So now he says in verse 15 that he no longer lives for himself, but now he lives to please the one who loved him, who died and was raised again. Christ is now the center of Paul's universe. Egocentricity has given way to Christocentricity, because the encounter that Paul had with Jesus has led to a growing relationship. Understanding the old me and the old you died on the cross, where the power of sin has been broken, means dying to self and all selfish ways. It means living instead for our Lord. The old me might have been greedy or envious or coveting what others have, or been lazy or been deceiving ourselves in different ways. And it's as we grow in the Lord and as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling that Christ reshapes our lives. And the more all our ways are reconciled to God's ways, the more our relationship with him will grow and the more like Christ we will become. Maybe this morning God might just nudge us a bit to say yes to him challenging us to pick out one thing in our heart of hearts we know is selfish or self-centered, and ask the Lord to remove it and reshape us like the potter reshaped the pot in Jeremiah. So every believer has an encounter with Christ and been reconciled to God. And then we start to grow in that relationship with the Lord. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we begin to live for God rather than for ourselves. But our encounter with God and our growth in our relationship doesn't stop there, because after we've been reconciled to God ourselves, he gives us the task of reconciling others to himself. It's one thing, isn't it, to have an encounter with God for ourselves and be reconciled to him. How selfish it would be if we continue to live in the luxury of that for ourselves and we don't share the good news with others. Paul says in verse 14, Christ's love compels us. What a powerful word that is, because we are convinced that one died for all, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, God longs for everyone, for all to be reconciled and come into that relationship. But the all doesn't mean everyone will automatically be saved. It means that the offer is available to all, but it's up to the individual to respond to God's love and be reconciled personally. General William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, once said, "A fire is in my bones. Oh God, what can I say? Souls, souls, souls. My heart hungers for souls." Can we echo that? Is that in our thinking? Do we wake up each day and think, souls, souls, my heart hungers for souls? Paul feels very strongly at the beginning of this passage that God has called him to go and try and persuade men to have a reverent fear of the Lord. And he goes on to say that just as God has reconciled each one of us to himself, so he has given to us that same ministry of reconciliation. And the blueprint hasn't changed in the last 2,000 years, because all of us here today are called to go and tell others so that they too can be reconciled to God. It's actually a very special gift, this ministry of reconciliation. We can have reconciliation and help others to be reconciled to each other, but how much more powerful it is to reconcile others to the living God. Because we are now new creations, and we see through things through Christ's eyes, it means we no longer live in isolation, and we can't let others go on their merry way into an eternity without Jesus. So we must go and offer them the gift of salvation and help them to unwrap it, as countless thousands of people have been helped on Alpha courses to unwrap the gift of eternal life. Do you notice some of those very strong verbs that Paul used in this passage to describe this ministry? Call, appeal, implore, urge, compel, now. They all make you want to get up and go and do it. Paul goes on to describe each Christian as fellow workers and ambassadors. To be an ambassador can be quite a tricky thing, quite difficult and hard, because an ambassador lives in enemy territory, in a different country, and we are in enemy country to announce God's peace treaty. That's why it's important that Christians get involved in their localities, in their communities, joining the gym, getting involved with neighbours and local projects, being seen out and about and shopping locally, perhaps having a street party when the King's coronation comes. We are fellow workers and co-workers together on Christ's behalf. This isn't just a ministry for Andrew here and Martin and Luke down at St. John's. It's a ministry for every believer, because we are all called to go and reconcile the world to Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves the question this morning, how much of a priority is the ambassadorial role that God has given to me and to you? And who has God placed in our lives so that we can implore them to be reconciled to God? How can we plan and pray towards this? We are not just called to be ambassadors. We actually are ambassadors. And others will pass judgments about Christ based on what they see in us. I came across this little poem the other day. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Something to ponder about. And I also came across this little story about Francis of Assisi, who said to one of his young monks one day, let's go down to the town and preach. Oh, the novice was delighted to be asked by this very special person. So they went down into town. They walked all round the main streets and bypasses and alleys, and eventually returned by a rather circuitous route back to the monastery. The young monk was puzzled, and he said, "Father, I thought we went to town to preach." Francis replied, "We have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We have been seen by many. Our behaviour has been closely watched. So we've preached our morning sermon." So just being you as you go about your daily life is preaching and sharing the gospel. Being an ambassador for Jesus in this wonderful ministry of reconciliation. So, as we come to the end of this talk and the end of this series, three vital truths come out of our reading today. Encountering the risen Jesus means we have both died with him and been raised to new life with him, which resulted in us being made completely new creations. Secondly, growing in a wonderful new relationship with God, we see others from Christ's viewpoint, with his eyes, and we learn to put to death our self-centered nature. And thirdly, obeying the call to go and be fellow workers and ambassadors in order to reconcile others to God. Souls, 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 my heart hungers for souls. May that same hunger fill our hearts as we encounter Jesus for ourselves, as we grow in him in our relationship, and as we go and be ambassadors for Jesus, reconciling lost souls to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.